Moncrief on News Talk.
Is there anything ChatGPT can't do? Not only can it help you cheat in your college assignments or write an inoffensive best man speech, it may also possess mystic powers. The AI can also do palm reading. Apparently, the Irish Times tech correspondent Ciara O'Brien has been finding out what the future holds. Good afternoon, Ciara.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Let's start with the wisdom or not of putting your actual palm on a screen and sending a picture of that to an AI program.
Yeah, call me cynical, but the first thing I thought was, don't do this. Don't, for the love of God, do this. Because what you're basically doing is it needs a detailed picture. So it needs something that has good light, that shows your whole hand. It asked me for both of my hands, including your dominant hand. And that would basically mean that I have handed over a very detailed photograph of the thing I use to authenticate my phone on a regular basis and my banking apps. So you'll have to excuse me if I'm slightly cynical, and I'm not saying obviously that ChatGPT is trying to break into anything, but the idea of you putting anything like that online where you don't know who has access to it just fills me with absolute dread. So I did try this out, but I used a stock image of somebody else's hand.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's the equivalent of like if ChatGPT says, give us your bank password and it'll be nothing to worry about here.
Well, it's kind of like all those viral trends that you see where, you know, say, this is what you looked like 10 years ago. This is what you look like now. Or as we've discussed before, tell me what you know about me using my interactions with you and create a caricature of me based on that. And, you know, you don't realize until you try something like that, just how much information you've been handing over to companies, to AI companies. And again, look, you know, nobody is inferring anything, or nobody's implying that ChatGPT is trying to break into your bank account. But what it is it's data. Data is valuable. And the more data that AI has, the better it gets and the more it can do. So, you know, before you do something like this, think very carefully. Well, first of all, do you actually want, would you do this? Would you put this on Twitter? You know, would you just randomly put a photograph of your hand up there in so much detail? And is it something that you really need to do? Because the other side of this thing is obviously, you know, all of this is resource heavy. You know, you're asking ChatGPT something that's basically a bit of fun for you, but takes up time and computer resources. And we've heard all about, you know, the environmental impact of AI. It's kind of like, you know, when you have Alexa at home and the first thing you do, well, the first thing my children did was teach Alexa how to fart. And then for the next 2 weeks, all we had was, you know, the kids asking Alexa to do specific types of flatulence, which was, you know, disconcerting and annoying, and eventually it got unplugged. Yeah. But, you know, all of this stuff is very resource heavy, bit of crack for us, but, you know, not so much, you know, at the other end of things when you realise, you know, how much water and energy and all that stuff that we're all complaining about, that it's taken up.
Yeah, that's an interesting point that I hadn't really, and perhaps that's not enough of a conversation we're having about the environmental impact of what we use all these digital devices for. So did ChatGPT, now you didn't use your own hands, you just used some sort of generic handprints. Did it then go on to tell you about, you know, what the future held, or even what kind of person you were, or any of that?
Well, it went through quite a few different, but it takes all the information that it can find online, that it can learn from online. And it was, the first kind of attempt was very generic. So you have to be specific. If you are going to do this, you have to tell it to avoid kind of generalizations, because otherwise you're going to get, oh, you know, you will find love and, you know, you will have a long and healthy life. And it's all very, you know, bland. And if you ask it to do from a specific, if you ask it to be more specific, it will basically tell you, you know, say it said stuff like, you know, the headline and lifeline have a visible gap, and PAMIS would usually read this as somebody who asserted their independence early rather than relying heavily on family approval. Now, you know, you could take that as you were an absolutely willful toddler, which I was. You know, I have no idea. My family will tell you that haven't improved much as I've gotten older, so that wouldn't be a massive surprise. That, you know, that there's certain parts of your headline that are linked less with logic logic and more with visual thinking, imagination or learning through intuition, which again, you know, can be applied to an awful lot of people. So it still comes up with some fairly generic stuff. And I was having a look around online about this, and there's, you know, there's a lot of debate on this on Reddit, say on some of the boards that will be dedicated to some of these practices, whether or not this is actually a good idea, because, you know, you're going to fall into one of two camps on this one. You're either going to think that palmistry is, you know, something that is genuine and an art and that people spend, you know, lots of time and effort kind of perfecting. And there's a human element to that that AI can't replicate. And I know we keep talking about, you know, artificial intelligence taking over certain tasks. It's still not human. It's not. And it's not going to be there for another little while yet. And there is a when it comes to kind of reading people, there is a human element that, you know, with the best tech in the world, ChatGPT at present cannot replicate. The other camp then obviously is, you know, palm reading is, you know, is nonsense and, you know, none of this is real. In which case, you know, you're looking at this kind of go, well, it's not a science. It can't really predict anything. It's just looking at a photograph of my hand. And actually ChatGPT did say that, you know, this is not an exact science. I can't prove or disprove anything based on this palm reading. And when I asked where it got all of its information and where it learned this, it basically said it learned from online resources and traditional palmistry books that it had access to. So, you know, it's basically just learning from the information that's out there, but it's not really offering you any real insight into your personality based on a few lines on your hand.
Right. Okay. Well, no, of course not. How could it? And it's not claiming to, I suppose a lot of palm readers might say it's not just reading the palm, it's psychic vibrations or, you know,
exactly. And there's, you know, and there's a certain element of reading the person as well. And, you know, and there's intuition involved, and AI does not have intuition.
Yeah. Now, do we know if you give information of any sort to ChatGPT, what happens to it?
Well, you can tell it not to use your information, not to save your conversations, and not to use your information to train its models. And, you know, these are all settings that people probably skip through when they set up something like ChatGPT or any of the AIs, because it's not just ChatGPT that uses your interactions to train itself and to I suppose, in its eyes, to get better. With a kind of a few clicks, usually they're under settings, there's privacy settings, you can actually tell it not to use your data for training. Anything, obviously, that you've already given it and that you had given it permission to use as training data, you know, you can't get that back. I mean, it's oil in the water. You don't know where it is now. It's sucked up into some black box in the ether, and you know, you'll never get that out. Because look, while they give you some information on how your data is used, they don't give you exact information, because at the end of the day, these are, you know, they're enterprises. They are have proprietary models. They're not going to tell you the ins and outs of absolutely everything that they do and exactly how your data is used, because that would give you, I suppose, it would be a window straight into the innards of ChatGPT. And, you know, if they want to make money out of it, you know, that's just basically giving it away for free. So why would they do that?
Yeah. Okay. All right. But can you, but those privacy settings, are you restricting what information it retains and how they can use it? Or can you go, you can't use any of this? You can use it now and then you have to forget it.
Yeah, you basically, you can uncheck a box that says you give it permission to use your data to train its models. You can also stop it from saving your chat history. So you basically, it's like a temporary user, like incognito mode on Google Chrome, or, you know, if you're logged out of something. So basically it won't save your chats longer than a few days, because it does have to save them for, I suppose, certain legal purposes, to make sure that the use of your, of their systems are within the law. But usually that's only for a few days. So, you know, we are trusting that once those few days elapses, that, you know, that your data is deleted or forgotten from the system. But again, it's kind of, it's up to the user to go in and make sure all of those settings are as you would like them, so that you have a temporary chat turned on, that you have chat history disabled, because otherwise, the more you use it, the more it knows about you.
Yeah.
And the more it knows about you, really, you know, I mean, it makes a lot of people very uncomfortable, myself included.
Yeah. A texter just texted me. This is not exactly on this, but it's certainly related and an experience a lot of people have. Is the fact that our phone apps have access to the microphone and can hear or record our conversations, therefore AI can send you back seemingly accurate readings, similar to how if I discuss something or somewhere slightly obscure with my wife, I then get non-stop Instagram and online ads for said destination, type of paint, wheelbarrow, etc.
To be honest, I would actually be, I probably would be slightly more comfortable, and I use this very lightly, more comfortable if my phone was actually listening to me compared to what happens in the background, because a lot of the time people think their phone is listening to them. In some cases, look, I'm not saying definitively your phone is not listening to you, but you have to give apps certain permissions. So if you give an app permission to use the microphone, say if you're on an iPhone, you'll have a little icon when the microphone is active, you'll see it on the screen. You know, it's something that they've introduced, I suppose, to make people more aware of privacy. And it's the same with location. It's the same with the camera. There's always like this little icon that shows this is active. So you can kind of trace if something is using a microphone or a camera or your location at any particular time. So when you're using that app. The kind of the creepier thing that I find about phones is that in the background, you're kind of unaware of a lot of the stuff that goes on in the background. So there's a lot of, you know, we see all the things about cookies and trackers and all that stuff, and they build a profile of you. So Facebook, you may not have a Facebook profile, but that doesn't mean Facebook doesn't have a profile of you based on your interaction with websites that has its trackers on it. And that to me is creepier. So I could be talking to a friend of mine about a particular holiday destination. They go home later on and look it up. And then I start getting ads served to me based on that, because we've been in the same place at the same time and we're friends on Facebook or we're friends on Instagram, and the system kind of pulls all that information together, builds this profile of you, and then basically serves you ads based on your interactions with people, with websites, all of that stuff. To me, that's far creepier than, you know, being able to them kind of listening to you without your knowledge, but you know that your phone could be listening to what you're saying. So I think there's an easy way to solve that, and that's just don't use a phone.
Yeah.
But you know, you don't really know what profile other websites have of you, because you know we kind of just skip through all this stuff now. We're so inundated with cookie notices and tracker notices, and you know, unless you go full on, you know, privacy for your browser for everything and lockdown as much as possible, then you know you don't really have any control over your data. It's kind of disturbing, and there's so much out there on that, and it does get very, very exhausting trying to keep up with it all.
Yeah, Ciara, thanks a million as ever. Ciara O'Brien's the Irish Times tech correspondent, and as you heard there, a willful toddler.
Moncrief weekdays at 2 on News Talk, conversation that counts.